I'm going to start with a little disclaimer. When Nora first invited me to preach a few Sundays ago, she said it was UMW Sunday and that she wanted for there to be the emphasis on mission that the UMW have, and that maybe I could share about Uganda. And at the time, I told her I would do that. But since then, I've slept and I've studied this wonderful text from the first letter of John, and I'm going to talk about mission in a more general term, more general sense today, not specifically about my trip to Uganda. I think I've shared with that about all that y'all want to hear. So I will focus more on mission generally today. This is a wonderful passage from the first letter of John. Its language of love is almost as beautiful as the more common passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So I want to talk about love for a minute. Love is an interesting word. Society has come to define this word in many ways. It can be both a noun and a verb. It can refer to the deep passion and affection that we feel for those closest to us, or it can be a score of zero in tennis. We talk about loving people, and we talk about loving objects. In many ways, love is a powerful word expressing intense emotion, but in many ways, we use the word love flippantly. But when love is seen in light of God, who is love, it takes on a meaning that none of our words can describe. It is God who defines love. And part of what God's love entails, as this passage from John tells us, is that we respond in love. Today, as we celebrate United Methodist Women's Sunday and Mother's Day, we have before us some fine examples of love in action. One of the primary foci of the United Methodist Women, as you've heard already, is mission work. The United Methodist Women have been in existence for over 135 years, and in that time they have been involved in local and global missions that have reached hundreds of thousands of people. For example, the UMW Campaign for Children works to identify and address the needs of teachers and students in the local and public school systems of the United States, while a partnership with the United Nations allows the UMW to respond to the needs of those around the world, particularly women and children. The work of the UMW is certainly to be commended. But as we celebrate the accomplishments of the United Methodist Women today in the area of missions, we must let their example serve as a reminder to us of our responsibility as people loved by God. Mission is not only for the United Methodist Women or the United Methodist Men or the youth group. Mission does not only involve a trip to Uganda or to the Gulf Coast, and it is more than spending the night in an overflow homeless shelter. God loves us, and because God loves us, we are to love one another. In mission language, this means that each one of us, as people loved by God, are to be in mission every day in every part of our lives. I'm going to make here what may seem like a bold assertion. I believe that we tend to think that mission is somebody else's responsibility at some other time. We think that the mission field is somewhere else, some other country. But really, the mission field is here in our own neighborhoods and even in our own backyards. The Christian church in Africa is growing. The Christian church in Asia is growing. The Christian Church in North America, and particularly in the United States mainline Protestant denominations, is shrinking. We, of course, recognize this sad trend. And across the nation, churches are working diligently to reverse it. Even here at Wesley, we're beginning to chart a new course. When we talk about charting a new course, we are talking about mission work. Mission, by definition, is service to others. It is our commissioning by God through the church to share the gospel and to help the marginalized. Mission is not about servicing our own desires. It is not about organizing programs that meet our individual needs. Mission is not even about making Wesley a better church. Mission is sharing God's love with those around us, just as God has shared God's love with us. If we do that, if we can sacrifice a bit of ourselves in the way God sacrificed God's self for us, then we can have faith that our own needs will be met. And we can trust that not only will Wesley Church be a better place, but that the entire Christian church and even the world will be better. As Christians, we look forward to that day when God will rule on earth as in heaven. The church is to be a foretaste of God's coming kingdom. The church is not just a way for us to associate with people who are socially the same. Our mission as the church is to be God's divine presence on earth. We are to anticipate in today's reality that future time when all will gather around God's table and feast at the heavenly banquet, where everyone is welcome. The poor, the rich, the sick, the elderly and the young, the jocks, the nerds, you and me. But we fail at our job. We fail at our mission of sharing God's love. We fail as a church if we do not invite people in. If we prepare our favorite dishes and selfishly hoard them. God in Jesus Christ has already prepared the meal. We must acknowledge it for what it is, a sacrifice of God's love, and we must do everything in our power to share it with others. Otherwise, the church means nothing. It serves no function. I want to share with you a story of a very good friend of mine in Tennessee. He left the church several years ago after some behind-the-back gossip turned a few vocal church members against him. In the 4.5 years since that incident, he has not once stepped foot inside any church, except maybe for a funeral. Over the years, I've talked to him a few times about the church and what continues to keep him away. Most recently was just last week. While my friend still affirms his deep faith in God, he acknowledges that he has little faith or trust in the people of the church or the church itself. And here's what's worse. Not once in the nearly 5 years since he left the church has a single person invited him to come to church. Friends and acquaintances have advised him that he needs to go to a certain church, that he needs to be involved in certain ministries, and that he needs to be doing certain things for his spiritual well-being. But not one single person has invited him to church with them. Now, for me to tell you this story is, of course, to incriminate myself. I haven't been telling my friend that he needs to go to church or that he needs to be doing certain ministries, although I have thought it. But I also have not invited him to come to church with me, even though I have had many opportunities. Of course, I've thought about inviting him to church, but there was always some excuse. Besides the fact that I'm over 500 miles away, when I was worshiping in Tennessee, I always seemed to chicken out. To rationalize that my friend doesn't want to be in the church right now, that he can't trust the people in the church or the church itself, or that he thinks that the church is fake and hypocritical. Perhaps I thought that I was protecting him, but in looking back, it becomes painfully obvious that I was protecting myself. I was looking out for my own self-interests. It took my best friend looking me in the eye with hurt and even anger and resentment and saying, "No one has invited me back into the church." It took him saying that to me for me to realize how miserably I am failing at loving my brothers and my sisters. I have fallen into the trap of thinking that God loves me, and so I've got it made, which is a very easy trap to fall into. We sit here today comfortable in God's love. But as we worship, I know that my friend will not be in church this morning. And I wonder how many others there are like him. People who we have forgotten because we've been so worried about ourselves. People with a passionate desire to be a part of something where love is so real, so tangible, that it can not only be felt, but seen and even tasted. This is what the church is to be: the embodiment of God's love here on earth. But as long as we try and mold the church to our own needs, as long as we make the church into a human institution instead of letting it be God's, there will be people left out. No longer can this be the case. We must act. We must stop thinking that the function of ministry is to satisfy our own needs. We must stop believing that mission is someone else's responsibility, and we must start loving. We must allow ourselves to be so shaped by God's self-giving love that we can and do love others. And not as we love ourselves, but more than we love ourselves. That is self-sacrificing love. Love is not what supports our interests and makes us feel good. Love is what God, through Jesus Christ, has given the church so that we can know about God, but more importantly, so we can share it with others. If we say we love God, then we must act on that love. And action is more than just showing up for an hour on Sunday mornings. It means that we seek to do everything we can to draw closer to God. It means we seek to do everything we can to help those who are outside the walls of the church, no matter what. The world needs to experience a church, an institution of God, a body of believers whose decisions and actions are shaped by God's love as revealed in Jesus Christ. Those who love God must share that love individually and corporately every day of the week. We must love our brothers and our sisters in the same way that we love God, and in the same way that God loves us. This is our mission. So be it.